if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 339 of 339 of the BRB UK podcast. Why is it 339? Are we about to finish doing this podcast? No, silly, it's because we haven't travelled forward in time and recorded more than 339, that's why. I'm Dan, I'm your host, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Who are you? I haven't given you your name.
Good.
So, you have no name. But there's Coleman over there. Hello, Coleman.
Hi, my parents gave me my name.
I'm not going to name the other one.
Nameless and shameless.
No, you've got no name.
He shall be known as Clint.
The Tim with no name.
What was that word you just said in front of no name?
The no name with no name.
If you would like to give this poor podcaster who's been born without a name a name, please let us know, and we will call him that for the rest of his podcasting career.
Don't let that become a competition now.
At Big Red Barrel.
At Big Red Barrel. What do we name this nameless podcaster?
Tim's new name is not the best name for a competition.
I like to think as soon as we sign off the podcast every week, both of you enter a state of having no name.
That's it. I have been Dan, and you'll go, I might have... and then his head explodes. Because of the logic loop.
Good.
For the logic. When has the podcaster with no name ever had a logic loop?
Has he ever had logic?
Yeah. It's an anti-logic loop.
No.
I think.
Shush now, podcaster with no name.
Therefore, I'm not.
What? Yes, indeed. So, it was only last week, chaps, we were talking about ray tracing. That's not the act of getting a large manta ray out of a pool and doing a charcoal rob on it, no.
Or rage racing, as a listener heard.
Ridge Racer!
No, neither of those things. We were talking about it last week, and I was
tracing
prophesying...
pictures of Ray Winstone, though, yeah? That's what we're talking about, yeah?
We're drawing Ray Winstone like one of our French girls, just to make him happy.
On tracing paper,
yes. Yes.
Good.
Next gen.
Marvellous. Excellent. Yes, next gen, not this next gen, which is now the current gen, but the next gen, so the PlayStation 5 next gen, apparently is going to feature ray tracing. And I was looking down my nose at the idea of... No, hold, hear me out. Hear me out. Now, all I'm saying is that I failed to see... I'm unsure how they can make it come in at a competitive price point. However, on reflecting upon this, I do realise that I've metamorphosed into some horrendous member of the PC Master Race. So, bearing in mind that that consoles are probably targeting 1080p at 30 frames a second, not 60 frames a second, it might be doable.
So, if I just take the transcript from last week's podcast, which we always have because we transcript every episode, if I just take Dan's quotes here exactly, it does in fact say, speaking as a member of the PC Master Race, I can 100% guarantee that none of you filthy oiks on your console pigsties will be allowed any ray tracing in the next generation.
No ray tracing for you.
That's a quote from Dan Gibbons.
Yep, it is. Although technically it's path tracing, so, it's interesting that they're getting out the gates so early with news about consoles. So I think they must have heard that Xbox were planning to drop something. And I don't know whether this was just... I mean, I'm not sure about the timing of this relative to the all-digital Xbox One S, which we'll talk about in a bit. But, you know, that is Sony going, yep, we're all over it. Your move, Microsoft. So essentially where they're going... is that the console's CPU, so this is the PlayStation 5, is going to be a variant of the AMD Ryzen 3rd generation. Now, what the hell does that mean? So we're currently, I believe, on the second gen of the Ryzen chips, which are kind of like AMD are a competitor to Intel, and AMD chips are very good at multi-core tasks, so like video encoding, they tend to absolutely rinse Intel's processors with. So if games are coded in the right way to take advantage of all these processor cores, both physical and virtual, then yeah, that's a really big deal. And apparently the GPU is a custom version of Radeon's new Navi GPUs, which apparently is really, you know, quite stonkingly good for ray tracing as well.
Yeah, and every now and then it goes, hey, listen.
Really knew you were going to do that.
Yeah.
And it also has a solid state drive as well. Which, surprise, surprise, having a solid state drive makes things go extra super quick.
Mm.
So pretty much the direction I think we see things were going in. I remain to see
apart
whether
from the
or
bit
not
that you said the complete opposite of.
No. I still remain skeptical about if they can bring playable full-on ray tracing at a competitive price point that delivers performance, which means gameplay is smooth and enjoyable. That's my only point.
I think the part of the argument that you missed that I didn't get to make last week, that I think is why it will end up going this way, is because as soon as a console steps in and goes, okay, that's what we want to target, that's the technology we want to do, we want to order a bajillion chips, please, kind of thing. You know what I mean? So it does make that much more of a possibility and a practical thing.
And you also have to bear in mind that consoles are often released as a loss leader, and they make their money back on games and peripherals as well. So I do appreciate that as well.
I could see this, you know, that being part of the argument. And then also, I just think even though there will be technical advances for PCs within this console generation, consoles tend to set a baseline of, you know, what a lot of developers develop for, basically, you know. So you might end up with, in a few years' time on the PC, the same situation or a similar situation when we're in now, where you can take advantages of technologies earlier, but a time when those technologies are perhaps a bit under-supported as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a really interesting console cycle, this. I really, really do think it's going to be interesting. But I think it's just because the whole kind of ray tracing, real-time ray tracing tech is still so new. And obviously there's a lot of optimizations to be done with that. And I think it's going to be really intriguing to see whether or not it's full-on ray tracing or whether or not, because there's various levels of ray tracing. It's, do you do simulate all the light bouncing off all the surfaces, or do you just perhaps do ray trace shadows or ray traced indirect lighting? So there's probably various ways they can do it. But I think it's going to be a really exciting generation to see what they do.
But also for me, the SSD was good news, because they're talking about it in the conversation of loading times, which I'm glad is something they're concentrating on and looking on, because that's been a bugbear of this generation. It was something that I don't remember going into this generation, both console manufacturers were touting features which allowed you to get in and play the game straight away as it's installing and all that type of stuff. And I think that hasn't properly been realized. That's a promise they didn't really deliver on in this generation. That's hopefully something that will be better delivered on next from the mistakes they made this time, kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, you can install 2.5-inch SSD to your PlayStation 4 now.
Yeah, for a bit of money.
But it's not a standard thing, so it can't be developed for that being the case, whereas if every console has it as standard, that can be. So, yeah, that's good.
I mean, SSDs are getting cheaper all the time. I mean, they're still gigabyte for gigabyte much more expensive, but you can get, a 500-gig SSD for £73 off Amazon these days,
which is the same price that you could buy a 2 terabyte hard drive standard for your PlayStation 4.
Exactly. I mean, so the trade-off is speed versus capacity, but probably most people would be willing to take the hit on speed, especially as, since generally speaking, people's internet speeds have also increased over this console generation, meaning that deleting and re-downloading a game isn't necessarily as much of a pain in the backside.
Have we actually said where this news has come from?
No.
It's come from Mark Cerny of Cerny.
Well, it's come from an interview in Wired magazine with Mark Cerny, but yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things I wanted to talk about, because there's some interesting stuff around this. Mark Cerny, he turned up at Wired, he gave them a talk about what the next generation of console is going to be for PlayStation.
Didn't he turn up completely uninvited? Did he just turn up like a crazy person demanding to speak to someone? I have things to say!
Some of the rumours around this exclusive as to why Wired have this is that they were sent some leaks, showed it off to Sony before they decided to publish it, and ended up with Mark Cerny at the door, telling them, you know, showing them everything, so they didn't rely on leaks instead.
Yeah, might as well correct the information and be in charge of it a bit more.
Yeah, which I if that's true, that's a very interesting way to go about it.
I think it's very sensible.
Yeah, no, it much better. I mean, when you look at the half-step generation, where the PlayStation Pro itself didn't get leaked. I mean, they sent out the specs beforehand, but the PlayStation Slim, which was the remodel of the older PlayStation 4, the first generation PlayStation 4. God, it's so weird with these half steps and stuff.
Yeah.
That got leaked out earlier, and Sony's idea was to just not comment on it and initially just take down videos on YouTube and stuff, which just fueled the fire until eventually they stopped doing anything and then announced the thing with the PlayStation Pro. But yeah, I prefer this way of going around it, if indeed true that they had the hot goss.
But I don't know if you guys had seen, there had been a lot of just general speculation articles on the internet in general and on like sites from major newspapers and stuff like that. So they weren't necessarily anything with any great substance to them, but they were kind of talking about, oh, we've heard this might be the case and this is what we want. They weren't really with any concrete details. And I think this is very sensible to get out there, get in front of all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Own the information that's going out there. I think that's quite sensible.
But one of the interesting little tidbits in this, and I'll just put this out there. Okay, so apparently Mark Cerny turned up with a PS4 and a PS5 dev kit in tow. He fired up a PS4 Pro playing Spider-Man, which we all know is a great game. Apparently, the kind of similar, the fast travel stuff, there's actually a bit of a wait around in the menus sometimes. Yeah. Like, if it, like you can be like 15, 20 seconds between you reappear.
Apparently, there's also cutscenes.
Yeah, apparently, in this demo that he gave Wired, Cerny, quote, does the same thing on a next gen dev kit. What took 15 seconds now takes less than one. So that is a couple of things. One, it's a bloody fast SSD. It's probably an NVMe SSD rather than a SATA, which basically means it's... thank you. Which means it's plugged directly into the processor rather than going through kind of a... I won't bore you, but it's faster. but also, then that he was playing a PS4 title on a PS5 dev kit.
So backwards compatibility, which it did get my brain a-turning, because initially I read that and went, oh, cool, backwards compatibility, as well as the ability to use your PlayStation VR with the next generation of console.
Which I predicted, but yep.
Yeah, Tim did predict, and that's a great thing.
But, well, yeah, I mean, in other news, Bear's still in the woods.
But no, that just makes perfect sense. It means that you don't have to buy an expensive headset when a console comes out. I don't think they're ever going to do that.
Right, my gears started turning in my mind today, and I think that... The idea, specifically with the idea of the PSVR, and I was thinking, well, they're supporting PSVR on the next console. I think that pretty much confirms a future PSVR version just for the next PlayStation. But as well, when I was thinking the case of backwards compatibility, and the pattern that we've seen previously isn't just PlayStation 4, it's PlayStation 3, PlayStation 2 stuff as well.
Yeah.
But just looking at PlayStation 4, and from some old specs I was reading years and years ago, not even about this generation, but it was the idea of forwards compatibility rather than backwards compatibility. So the idea of you're not putting out PlayStation 5 games and dual releasing games. You have a PlayStation 4 game, which is also the PlayStation 5 game, which, because they are essentially just PCs, which means PlayStation 4 on a higher spec PC. I think that makes sense. So when you've got this idea of completely forgotten what Sucker Punch's cool looking new game is, and Last of Us 2 and titles like that, which you look at and go, that's not PlayStation 4.
Ghost of Tsushima,
Ghost of Tiramisu, that one. The idea of though looking at those and going, that's not running on a PlayStation 4, is it? Is it really? And then I think, yeah, it very well could be, but on the, you know, it could be a PlayStation 4 software that is high spec for PlayStation 5, but is also running on PlayStation 4. I don't know.
The magical words of target rendering.
Target rendering, yes.
But you actually see this approach already been taken by devs already. If you've kind of ever watched any of Digital Foundry's videos where they do a deep dive into the kind of rendering that's going on, quite a lot of current gen consoles, if you compare it to the PC version, they've actually worked out, right, well, this slider's turned down to this and this and that. So they're not making necessarily bespoke versions for, say, the PS4 or the Xbox One / X / PS4 Pro. But indeed, they're just kind of feeding it a configuration file. Just say, all right, put these particular bells and whistles to this value, others to that. And it makes a lot of sense going forward if they do that with kind of the PS5 and the Xbox 2, I guess. I don't know.
I also think if they publicise that, like, it'll work in their favour with the fact that they've got so many people on board in this console generation already. But it'll also, it kind of makes sense and earns them some goodwill at the same time while also making some business sense. Because I don't know about you, like, if we know there's a new console on the way, I tend to wind down the games that I'm buying on that console that I think will probably be re-released on the next console. If you don't have to worry about that and you can just make the purchase at that time, knowing that you can either just, you know, swap over to that version or possibly upgrade to a new version or whatever, that's something that goes away. That's less of an issue. And it also means that when you buy a console, you don't have to just only have a couple of games for it at launch. You'll have a library of games straight away that you can start, you know, seeing the difference with and stuff, which is quite nice.
And that's something more important for me, I think, just in terms of when... And it is specifically a PlayStation and Xbox problem from going from the 360 to the 1 and the PS3 to the 4 on launch. My PS3 has loads and loads of digital games that I was just about getting to when the PS4, when I finally got my PS4, and then those games sat on another system. And, you know, TVs don't have that many ports and you don't have that many electrical outlets and stuff. I couldn't even be buggered to keep setting up different consoles to go back to old games. Plus, I hate the PS3 controller compared to the PS4, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I like the idea of just bringing these games forward.
But the good news is now you've got a 2 megabyte SSD in you.
Well, I'm hoping we get something along the lines of sort of part install, so you compress the majority of the installation on your hard drive, and then you basically go to the game, tap, reactivate. The download is a lot less than you would need to regularly if you were reinstalling from fresh.
So you can just compress and uncompress it when you're not using it, basically. Okay.
The only challenge with that, with SSDs, this is getting really dorky, my apologies, listeners, is that SSDs are made up of a series of essentially cells, which are either charged high or charged low, but each individual SSD cell has a finite lifespan, so you can actually only write to an SSD for a finite number of times, which is why you often see in a Mac or a PC, you've bought, say, a 512 gig SSD, but actually you can only use, say, 480 gig of it. It's put that extra to one side so that as cells stop functioning, it kind of swaps it out with one that it's already reserved as to be used used in the case of one going wrong. So that's the only thing that might stand in the way of the constant kind of inflating and deflating of files, because you are then doing lots of writes to the SSD.
Right.
Hey, Dan's Tech Corner.
Oh, no, I like it. I like the knowledge is there in my brain, but I can't quite formulate the words on the fly sometimes. So I like that you're there to just do it.
Yeah, it's like streaming. It's like you're hitting. It's like a little kind of spinning circle you get on Netflix sometimes. But that's not all. Apparently, it's not all just
grapple
bells and whistles.
That's not all.
Because they want to give your ears a treat as well, apparently. The new Ryzen CPU apparently has got enough grunt to allow for kind of 3D audio with no extra hardware. Which, what do they mean by hardware? As in a dedicated audio chip? As opposed to, presumably you would still need surround sound speakers. It can't just magically make sound appear out your ass.
But they were talking, Sony was talking about, basically it makes a difference in regular audio term, you know, regular headsets, regular TV speakers and all this kind of stuff. You can notice the difference. Yeah, 3D sound.
3D sound. Sound in 3D.
3D sound.
It's over there. No, it's over there.
You could touch it.
It's over there. Well, you could. Well, you can try. You can't touch sound. Unless you've got synesthesia.
Good.
Shall we move on?
Let's. So next up on Stuff BRB UK, kind of slightly guessed because it was blindingly obvious. The all-digital Xbox One S is coming out, and it's going to be out on May 7th, which is a lot sooner, I think, than I expected. I thought they were going to hold it for E3 and do the magical, hey, look under your seats, what have you got? Oh, look, it's an Xbox.
That's a very expensive press conference.
I know. There's probably a reason they haven't done that again.
I mean, Oprah did it with Mercedes, so, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
Cheaper than that.
Yes, but it's dubbed the Xbox One S All Digital Edition, which is really catchy. But yeah, it's going to be £200, which is...
That's not catchy, no?
I would have liked to have seen it near a 150.
Well, considering you can buy the Xbox One S with, you know, the media thing, without the non-digital version.
The DVD drive.
The actual, yeah. Well, yeah. Is it DVD? Yeah,
you are actually right. You can, and Blu-ray any drive. Sign on, any news on how much hard drive-age is in the Xbox One?
But you can get that for like, what, $199? Like, it's the same price.
Today I saw a model of the 1TB Xbox One S with Forza Horizon 3 and the Hot Wheels expansion for £170.
So for £29 more, you can get no games and no ability to play them on physical media. It's like, what?
Yeah, all right. I'll shut up. That's right. £150, I think, would be a good place to go then.
Yeah. And that, I think that's what we were all kind of hoping towards, like sort of $100 or $120
Yeah, so at the time, the rumors in America was $100. And if they really wanted to get it moving over here, they wanted to make it nearer the £100 mark. But this is a long way away from that.
Yeah.
And a stupid bit above the or the same price as the existing consoles. Like, how does this help sell it to anyone? I don't
understand. Again, if you're just bridging the gap between this generation and the next, you could do like I did and go out and buy a super cheap original Xbox One and have done with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Save myself £140 apparently, and I get a disc tray that I'm never going to use.
Yeah, I don't understand how they justify it being the same price. Like, what? What? Or more expensive in the case of, you know, just shopping around for 10 minutes or 2 seconds.
No idea.
Yeah, on Amazon, even the base Xbox One S without a game, but with a DVD drive at 1TB is £8 cheaper.
What did the S launch at? Was that 270?
I think so.
280, something like that. I think so. Yeah, so when they say it's the cheapest Xbox One on the market, I think they mean the cheapest RRP at launch of an Xbox One model.
It's the cheapest Xbox One S all digital edition, I think, you find. in much the same way that a Bugatti Veyron is the cheapest Bugatti Veyron on the market if you're buying a car.
Not the easiest thing to market when you have to give it so many qualifiers, basically. That may be dead in the water in the UK, basically.
Perhaps the problem is why it costs the same is that they need to print up a whole new load of boxes with ridiculous words on.
Well, someone did point out that retailers might be quite angry at a low price digital console thing.
That might be it, and perhaps they're just shoring themselves up for there's no brick and mortar retailers going to want a stock list, so we need to make the margin somewhere because we expect the volumes to be lower. But I do wonder if the next generation of consoles, disc-free is going to be the normal.
Well, they've already stated that that won't be the case for the PS5.
True, but how long will they do a version that has no disc drive in? Will Xbox 2?
Well, if patents are to be believed, then yes, there's looks like we might be getting two versions of the next Xbox, one with a disc tray, one without.
I want to know what's in that space inside the all-digital.
Gnomes.
What are they keeping in there?
Gnomes.
Who lives in there?
Gnomes.
What? Gnomes?
Gnomes.
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 Hundreds of tiny, tiny little...
You know when
you played the PlayStation Playroom and you could play that little game and you had the little robots in the controller? It's like that. The Xbox, you get the one that you've removed the disc drive and gnomes, tiny little gnomes inside.
Wouldn't they be more on brand if they were goblins? Like green and all.
What are they eating?
Not on brand.
It's not goblins, goblin bran.
Not goblin goblins.
If it was on the launch models of the Xbox 360, then it'd be gremlins, wouldn't it?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Topical joke gremlins. For 2009 there.
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. So that's where we're at with the Xboxage.
What's the rumour with Game Pass?
Yeah, so we spoke about this last week. There was a leak that the Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Live Gold, they're going to merge together and they're going to make a brand new version of
Beautiful
that.
Beautiful little babies.
It's an actual thing. They announced it on the Inside Xbox live stream. So Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, that is going to contain the two, and it's going to be available for $10.99 a month, which is a lot cheaper than I think we initially speculated.
But it could still be cheaper.
You think? I don't think it's a bad price for both.
So, I think they could have cut it a bit further. I think it's a good deal, not a great deal. I think it's a good deal. I would have liked to have seen it around the £8 mark.
Okay, but it's still significantly cheaper than having both is at the moment.
Oh yeah, don't get me wrong, but as a bundle. And is there any news on whether or not there's by Grabthar's Hammer, what a savings if you buy multiple months in one go?
I'd assume so, but I don't have that on on record at the minute.
I'm determined to find bulk buy information.
Bulk buy.
Bulk buy.
I buy 10, you give me good price.
Really good. No, it doesn't appear to... interesting. Well, there we go. No, they're inviting a limited number of our Xbox Insider community members to join and test Xbox Game Pass Ultimate before it launches later this year, which sounds like it will probably be hitting the mainstream somewhere around E3, at a guess.
Does it really need to be tested out when it's just a combination of two things in a package deal of money? Like, that seems a bit excessive.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a bit about exploring price points. I think there's going to be a bit of kind of market research involved in that. So if we give you this, how much would you pay for it? If we give you that, how much would we pay for it? So, Coleman, look over there. It's a point. It is interesting.
That's an interesting looking point.
Isn't it? Ooh. Just this is the best link we've ever done.
Yeah, not many this week because everything seems quite dull this week. Anyway, so there's release dates. There was, you may remember it a little while ago, to E3, we had a certain...
I certainly do, mate.
A certain head of Respawn talking about Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which is the next game from their Apex Legends / Titanfall developers. And that now has a release date. It's going to be out on the 15th of November on Xbox One, PS4, PC, and EA Origin.
And big news is single player only.
Yeah, they are saying all the right things.
They did. They made a very big point of going, it's single player only. There's no multiplayer. There's no loot crates. There's no
microtransactions.
Any of this stuff. It's like, yeah, but you were bought by EA. You're an EA studio. You started this problem.
So there's a couple of things here. First of all, one, they're in kind of the Twitter ad kind of advertisement burst they were doing. The tagline is "Trust no one," and that's coming from EA.
There will be microtransactions.
Here's a thought I had the other day while contemplating life.
Right.
Okay. EA.
Yep.
They have a single player.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars quasi-RPG that they want to develop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think we have any confirmation of RPG elements.
Just
list. But anyway.
Shh, podcast with no name. Shush. And on the other hand, they have kind of a multiplayer game that they really want to get off the ground. So they've got BioWare, who are experts at the kind of story-driven single-player campaign. And they've got Respawn, who are experts at multiplayer stuff. So which team do they assign to which? I know, let's make BioWare do the multiplayer thing and let's make Respawn do the single player thing because that makes sense.
Yeah, right. A lot of people made similar comments, but then the conversation moved on from that when a few developers and publishers kicked in and went, that's not how this works. Like, those two studios pitched games to EA and EA greenlit them. Like, that, okay, they may, you know, have an inkling of the kind of game that EA may want them to make, and EA may give them some direction in that. Not saying that isn't the case.
While smoking big cigars.
And EA also have definitely had a hand in
forcing
a developer's hands into microtransactioning the hell out of their game for, you know, not necessarily the benefit of anyone other than EA, but you cannot
make it Destiny.
You
that
cannot entirely lay the blame for the type of games that BioWare or anyone else makes on EA. Like, that is ultimately, like, it's BioWare's game to pitch to EA and EA to say yes or no. And with the other caveats, as just said, but it's still down to that studio as to the type of game that they made and the type of game that they're making.
But that line of discussion is so much less fun.
Yeah. We need a Frankenstein to chase with our pitchforks and our torches. I saw EA. They drowned that girl.
I don't want to be defending EA, but let's rake them over the coals when they deserve it, and let's not necessarily hold their feet to the fire when it's unnecessary to do so because it's not entirely their fault. Let's, you know, lay equal portions of the blames with the studio that are making the current games. And as you say, like, Titanfall have made all this, you know, known for making multiplayer games, but for me, the single best piece of content that they've made that I've enjoyed the most was the single-player portion of Titanfall 2.
I maintain my pithy comment was more fun than this serious discussion. Tim's right. Damn it! No, the podcaster with no name's right.
But did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, yes, I did.
Yes.
There's wall running.
Yeah.
There's a Jedi, and he's got the wall running abilities.
A Jedi. Yeah, a Jedi. Is that what they're called now? A Jedi. Yeah,
Jedi. I don't know about you guys. I was sold from the poster. I was like, yep, I'm in. Yeah. Jobs are good. I mean, that's now my phone background.
I'm not so excited. I'm waiting for... I mean, I'm excited by the prospect of a Star Wars video game being single player again and not being Battlefront. I always mix up Battlefront and Field. I am not so excited about this until I see gameplay, which should be the same with every game, I think.
I am cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, and taking control of, you know, a Jedi for a whole game and in an interesting place in the universe with an interesting story that can be told. Yeah, I'm in.
Anyway, that's once again, that's November 19th this year. PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Origin. That's the correct pronunciation of EA, I think you'll find. Marvel, they've announced that Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, will release on the July the 19th this year. That's pretty soon, exclusively on Nintendo Switch.
Yay! I'm quite looking forward to that.
I am quite looking forward to that. I really like Marvel Ultimate Alliance anyway, and even with the kind of... like, I really like the first one. I think, for as impressive the second one was, the idea of butchering the Civil War storyline into the game kind of didn't sit right with me. But having a brand new story to go with the game and having it on Switch as well on the move, that's just pressing
all
my buttons.
The second one wasn't quite as good because we'd already had the first one, and even though it was a bigger cast, like you say, the story didn't gel quite as well. And anyway,
they sold me Venom, and I didn't like that.
But I am so looking forward to this one. I hope you guys, if we're all, you know, hopefully picking up on Switch, get to play some together as well. That would be good. Yeah. But
totally yes.
I am definitely looking forward to this one.
And again, it's the Switch. I like that you can just whip off the Joy-Cons and play with a friend, you know, at work, in a bar, on a bus, anywhere.
Sharing is caring, Coleman.
On a basketball court, in a rooftop party.
Yeah. The Switch really is a great bit of kit. I love it.
How is Karen these days?
She is great. We will be on a rooftop
party. She wasn't
party.
Super gluing herself to the top of a DLR train the other day, which sounds like something she'd do.
Damn that, Karen.
Yeah, I know, right.
It's I'm so glad that I don't work in Oxford Street anymore, by the way.
Yeah.
It's weird that as the console generation goes on, the Switch is fast becoming my most played console, you know, day to day, and could therefore, by the end of the console generation, be my most played and possibly favourite console of this generation, maybe?
Well, like, it will still exist when, by the looks of it, it will still exist when the PlayStation 5 and Xbox 2? I don't know, consoles come out. So it could be the best console of this generation and next generation.
The only ray tracing you're going to get on the Switch is going to be Picross 3.
Also, apparently you can get Assassin's Creed Unity free on PC.
You certainly can. This was announced yesterday. And because one of the things with a lot of these historical titles that Ubisoft put together is they make a big thing about the accuracy of the kind of the environment which the game's being played, and Unity, for all its faults, did have a very good recreation of 18th/19th century Paris, of which Notre Dame features quite strongly, and they did quite a lot of work actually recreating the inside of the Notre Dame Cathedral. And they said, look, we've made the game free. So those of you who never got to see Notre Dame in real life can do so. And I think it's free till the 25th. And they're also donating €500,000 to the Notre Dame Rebuilding Fund. Not that that's a fund that seems particularly short of cash, I may say.
No.
Yeah, and as we all know, the Catholic Church, notoriously short of money.
Very short of money.
Could we possibly divert some of that to Greenfield? Is that too much of a... thing to anyway
I've heard that a few times today. I mean, it's still a tragedy, but hey, for all the gumph that got given to Assassin's Creed Unity when it was first released, and deservedly so, and it kind of just got brushed off aside and wait for the next game, which Syndicate was a very good game as well, by the way. Assassin's Creed Unity, if I don't know if you guys have played it anytime recently, I played it, picked it up again about a year and a half ago, and yeah, they patched the holy hell out of the game, and it really does work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm downloading it after we do this show.
Oh, excellent. I think the only problem I have is it's you know, the Ubisoft problem of open world games, you open up the map and it just has dots everywhere of all the icons you can go and interact with. This one is the worst for that. When you first load up the map, you can't see the map for all the dots everywhere.
Hey, good work.
This is one of those things where these are two, and this Unity's just reminding me of this, but these are two studios that had almost a similar command from their previous game moving on to their next game in don't make this game memeable again, basically, because Unity really suffered for that, but as did Andromeda as well, no? Mass Effect. And they were both studios were kind of like, we don't want
as
this
to happen
again.
As opposed to Super Mario Andromeda. I had no idea what game you could have possibly been talking
just
about, Tim.
Clarifying
Thank
for those that weren't necessarily, you know. But
Tekken Andromeda.
Oh, yeah, I always get those confused.
Call of Duty Andromeda.
Animal Crossing Andromeda as well.
Well, no, it's just a comment that Ubisoft seemed to have reacted to that and come out with a positive move forward away from being memeable, whereas BioWare obviously went with the non-memeable graphics, but no gameplay because they concentrate too much on that by the looks of things. But hey.
Good.
Yeah. Nice. Good.
Nice quick points of interest.
Puyo Puyo Andromeda also. That's a great game.
Puyo Puyo Andromeda. I like that. Batman Andromeda.
Yep.
Yeah. Arkham Andromeda.
Yeah. Now, we better crack on with what we've done played because we're fast running out of time. Mine are quick.
Good.
First of all, newsflash.
Yep.
Anthem. Still broken.
Oh.
Oh, no.
You surprised me.
But so broken that there was people, they were due to do a kind of a state of the game, to steal a Ubisoft term, a state of the game kind of stream yesterday. And with 5 minutes to go, they called it off. Because the fiber to their office got cut.
Oh, no.
Now, a lot of people said, yeah, all right, that sucks. Happens. But other people have said, dog ate your homework.
Well, I mean, yeah, it sucks as timing, but I worked in an office in central London and that does happen. The fibre just goes, you know, and it always happens at the worst times as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the people have quite rightly said, if there is a big update or some potential patch notes, or could you just at least, put a text post up somewhere just discussing, the kind of things we might be seeing. Nope. Radio silence. They've gone completely dead on Reddit, the devs. So,
has anyone considered this might be the work of Bane and his henchmen?
Because is this a thinly veiled excuse you to do the voice?
No, not at all.
It totally is, isn't it?
No, I'm too tired to do the voice.
You are looking around your room at the moment. I can tell for a glass.
No, I'm too tired
really?
To perform, darling. No, I'm saying in that documentary, Dark Knight Rises, that Bane cut the fiber to the stock exchange. Do you remember?
they
went off on the motorbikes.
Do you know else who loves Bane? Donald Trump, apparently.
Yes.
Yes.
Betsy, I knew you'd do it. But also, I got all excited earlier in the week because apparently a new Forza game was out. Called Forza Street.
Oh, wait, I heard about this.
Is this for MC Scrabble Doubles?
Okay, just bear with me. I don't even think the Scrobbler Dobbler would enjoy this.
Oh, yeah.
So this was a game that was previously known as Miami Street and developed by UK-based Electric Square. So, okay, it's great to see a UK company getting involved with this kind of stuff. But it kind of metamorphosed into Forza Street and was kind of announced with a bit of a fanfare by Microsoft. But this is essentially a free-to-play game that is clearly designed to be for mobiles, since this is a racing game where the sole input you have is clicking the mouse. You don't steer. You click the mouse a couple of times to rev your engine to make sure it's in the right zone. Then you click the mouse when you want to brake. Yeah, click the mouse when you want to go faster again.
Wait, this is just real racing.
It's less hands-on than real racing.
The real racing dragster, or
and,
whatever they call
and
it.
And there is kind of, they try to say, yeah, there's a storyline where it's just a bunch of just twats.
Wait, in their storyline, do they have Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad?
Oh.
No, they have a bunch of people that are clearly trying to be cool.
Top for once.
Yeah.
No, it's just, okay, Forza Street, frankly, it's free, and that's too much money.
considering I just Googled this, I heard very briefly about this on a podcast at Giant Bomb earlier, but they didn't really go into it. So considering I just Googled Forza Street, and the first thing that popped up was a video that says, Forza Street, an absolute joke.
Yeah.
Ah, your reputation precedes you.
I mean, a bit of me does wonder, right, because kind of the gameplay in public made them essentially remove all of the microtransaction shadiness that was in Forza 7. So I wonder if this is just their way of getting it out of their system. Like, oh, but we want to do microtransactions. We want to do all this pay to... Oh, just let us release a game that's full of it. And perhaps this is just their way of like letting them kind of, you know, siphon off the steam.
But it doesn't even sound like they've done that, because they've basically just farmed the name out to someone else that's already made a game.
Yeah, this game is... Like, seriously.
Even shadier, almost.
It is a total waste of your time.
Oh,
I've wasted time on it, so you don't have to.
Good.
But it is out on iOS and Android later on in the year.
Oh, well, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, right. It's just terrible.
Oh.
I can't wait.
Put it this way. This is the kind of thing I would expect. You remember John Brady? You remember him? Where he did his 24-hour sing-a-thon just to completely kill himself for extra life. I would actually sponsor somebody £500 if they played nothing but this for the
challenge
whole of
accepted.
Extra Life. Oh, does no, it, you
wait,
won't make it.
Does it have to be for Extra Life? Could you just give me £500 and I'll play this for 24 hours?
Nope.
Because that's a good payday for me, life. I think.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Really?
What if I was raising funds for a different charity?
The Coleman Foundation.
Yeah, Coleman Foundation. Right. Giving money to the less fortunate Colemans that aren't Chris Coleman that used to be the manager for Wales.
Right.
Yeah,
that's good.
Actually, do you know what? Maybe I'm not going to give any money for this. This is a bad idea. I think I'd actually be inflicting pain. Well, I'm not... Yeah. Okay, I will give someone some money. I can't promise it'll be £500.
No, I'm going to say, Dan, you've promised some lavish and weird prizes in the past that haven't come to fruition. Maybe don't offer £500 out, because someone will take it.
Oh, 50p.
So, considering someone seriously wanted a fart in a jar from you, someone's going to try take £500 off you.
Yeah, I've been doing some right good farts recently, actually.
I didn't think that was where you
and
were
one
going
of the things,
that.
As I've got older, the kind of the reverb you get on farts, as everything's kind of loosening up a bit down there, is quite incredible. Anyway, I think I'm sharing too much information.
Lovely.
Definitely.
Yeah, TMI Friday, brilliant. Anyway, you two have been playing games, and we're running out of time, so talk about them.
Playing with a couple of things, but one that I haven't started playing with yet, but was going to talk about last week, and I will do very briefly, is Dreams. The early access portion of that is out. I have paid for it and downloaded it, but not started playing it yet, just through Tabletop Tuesday.
Already, this is one of your best reviews, Tim. Carry on.
Well, like I'm saying,
I mean, this is one of your best reviews, podcaster with no name.
I was just going to say, I will come back and talk about it more next week, because I'm planning on spending quite a bit of time with it this weekend. But, generally, I also, when at Res, got to go to a presentation and have a bit of a play with the creation tools and stuff like that. And it's one of those things where we've been, you know, umming and ahhing about it for a while, basically. And Coleman and I got to play some of the creations and the, you know, the games that people had already made at EGX last year, and we talked about that previously. But I did get to watch a presentation that was on the creation tools, and then have a kind of half an hour slot where I was fiddling with them as well, basically. And just from that early portion, and the thing that gives me a lot of hope for it being very successful, is something that I knew they were capable of, but having seen them actually put into practice, is just the gamification of the tutorial side of teaching you how to use their tools. Like, it seems really well done, quite like intuitive, leading you through like piece by piece. And it's something I'm really looking forward to, like getting some like proper hands-on time and getting to grips with it. But from having seen the presentation, the amount of stuff that you can do with it is almost mind-boggling. Like, I've already seen people tweeting out, my boyfriend was up till like 6 o'clock in the morning making music for the level that I'm making in Dreams, and people saying stuff like that. And just like, you can make the music within it, you can do that, but also you could just be a creator that just creates things that other people use, or you could use other people's creations.
Did you just
seriously
say you could be a creator who creates things?
Well, no, be a creator that just creates things for other people to use. You could just be someone that just creates music in Dreams that other people could then put into their games,
okay.
Basically.
Kind of like the more less nerdy version of, say, like Ultima Online, where you could just be a merchant.
but also it's... like, say someone's really good at making like street furniture, or you know, like lampposts, and you know, like, you don't have to go and make all of that because someone else will have uploaded it all, kind of thing. And that's
so street furniture, so gussied up traffic cones.
Better example of this. This sounds very Second Life all of a sudden.
Oh no, I've forgotten about that.
Right, yeah, but
or PlayStation Home.
Yeah, but imagine it, like uploading those components not to be like the bits that you have around a level that you can walk around, but the bits that you can put into a level you are creating.
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome.
That does sound quite cool.
That sounds really interesting to me, and just the fact that you can combine creativity basically and have this creative pool of people. Like, you don't have to be an expert in every field to make a great product, because you can creatively collaborate with other people that are very good at other things. And that's the kind of thing I'm looking forward to and looking forward to getting stuck into as well. So yeah.
I have a question. Can dreams come true, right?
Look at me,
Gabrielle said
everything.
It, and so it has to
yeah,
be true.
You got
then.
To have excellent. Them. You know, you got to be strong. Dreams can come true. Dan's got the lyrics down. I have a question. We discussed this off mic before, but can you catch a voice in Dreams, like through the headset or something?
Presently, and I know this is something we were interested in for reasons we will hopefully be revisiting, that it's technically possible to put stuff into the game, but the only, like, you can't import stuff at the moment. The only way to actually get audio into the game is to either create yourself, like you can with the music, or if you want to put in like audio sample type things, the PlayStation camera microphone you can record stuff through. But if you want to get something slightly better than that, you can also plug in an external mic and it will work through that.
Okay,
well.
And is there a limit on sound sample size?
I haven't fiddled around with yet. So
you're asking Tim about
this.
This
is part of my homework.
You're asking the podcaster with no name about bit rates.
I'm more interested about length than bit rate. So that's your homework now, Tim. I'm interested in your length.
No, but see,
maybe the girth.
This is why I need.
Basically,
you to...
what is the tubescence of your audio?
This is why we need you to come on board, Colman. I'll make the bits. You need to do the sound side.
Right.
Here's the problem.
I was contemplating picking up Dreams today. I was going through my game purchases, what I'm picking up this month. Dreams was on top of the list. I'm doing some freelance web work at the moment. And if I pick up Dreams, I'm not going to get paid, because that's all I will play is Dreams.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made sure that, you know, this coincides with me having some time to actually fiddle around with it. So I'm very much looking forward to... Yeah,
and you're
going
to get back
too.
To him about your girth, right?
Yeah. The other thing I will quickly talk about as well, because it's something I've only just started playing around with. But I did pick up the Nintendo Labo VR kit. Did I mention that last week? I can't remember if I did or not.
No, you didn't.
Right, okay. So, yeah.
I have a question.
Yes?
Straight up, how the hell do you make... the lens is out of cardboard.
Right, that is the one piece that comes in a little box that you kind of, you wrap the bits of cardboard around that, and then
no,
then
literally
kind of
unplayable. That's cheating. Don't like it.
But yeah, other than that, it is pretty much all cardboard. But they do give you like some like stickers, and it's not just stickers within that, like stickers that have actually got like foam on them that have got like padding, so that when you're like sliding the console in and out of the headset, it doesn't like rattle around as much, type of thing. But yeah, so far I've had a lot more fun, and I've only made like the headset and the little Joy-Con holder thing that it gets you to make to start with. I got the VR Blaster like starter set type thing, something along those lines. But it basically comes with the VR headset and a blaster, like it's, you know, like a bazooka type thing that straps to the front of it, basically. Yeah, that gives me access to all the games that are just the VR games and the games that are blaster related, but there are games associated with each of the other, there's up to six of them, I think, of the other kind of kits that you can get. The blaster apparently takes about 3 hours to build, which is why I haven't built it yet. But that's another
rubbish
thing on my list for this weekend. But yeah, it said it took about an hour to build the headset. And I was like, really? An hour? And yeah, it took about an hour. So all told, with a few distractions here and there. I think I was watching the Star Wars celebration at the same time. But anyway, but yeah, like so far I've had more fun building the headset than I have with the software. But that is partly due to a limitation of the hardware itself as well, because the hardware has no head strap whatsoever. So you have to hold it to your face the whole time you want to play, which means that you don't want to play for that long, which is a problem. And that also means you've only got one hand for a controller, and I'd prefer to be having two hands and a controller. Just me, possibly.
Two hands gripping it.
But yes. Also, yeah, so far, like, the software's like, oh, that's a really nice little tech demo thing. Oh, and that's a nice tech demo thing.
It's not meant for lengthy play sessions. It's meant for, oh, hey, look at that, that's cool.
Yes, but they have said that the support's coming eventually for Odyssey, which I picked up while it was on sale, and Breath of the Wild, but that's not here yet, so you can't really play around with that yet. I haven't messed around with the creation side of it. There is actually, like, you can create your own VR games within it as well, basically, so I haven't messed around with any of that side of things yet, but there's some creation side of things. But from the little mini games that are in it, like, the one that I've had the most fun with was essentially Pong, basically.
Wow.
Wow.
The future
Tim
is now.
I can't remember what it was called. Tim. It was basically like bomb football, and it's just literally you've got to get a bomb past your opponent on the other side. But, like, as I said, most
Isn't
of them are
Rocket
like
League?
A little tech demos that you're just playing for a really short space of time, and they're okay within that, but I haven't found anything like, oh my god, that's brilliant, that's why you need to get Labo.
I'm kind of slightly surprised they haven't done, like, kind of using all the various Labo kits you can get, they haven't almost done like a WarioWare game where half of it is you've got to build the thing and put the switch in it and then do it. Could be quite fun.
The making of things is like you're guided through that on the console itself, and as I said, that's been the most fun that I've had with it so far. I do think there will be other things to go with, and I actually think that from what I've seen, the games with the actual, like, component parts, so the blaster that I've got to build, they seem a little bit less tech demo-y, but still like a small light game type of thing. You know, there's not much to it. It just does seem like a shooting gallery to go through with the gun type thing. But yeah, some of the other kits look like they've all got games attached to them and stuff like that. I don't know. Like, I think it's good for the price and for the fact that you get hours of entertainment out of building it. But for me, as an evangelist for VR, if you like, type thing, I really worry about it being people's first and only VR experience, and then them thinking that is the limit of what VR is capable of. Whereas it's really just a kind of enhanced Google Cardboard, basically. But yeah, I mean, within that as well, it's actually got some videos as well that you can go through as well. But some of them are creepy as hell. It's a guy in a Mario costume, like, pulling things out of your nose and other weird things like that, and just like, oh, it's a dog, and oh, this is a deer that we went and filmed. But they're all wearing these weird costumes that they've came up with,
like actual real life actual people.
And it's all a bit creepy.
Winners don't do drugs, kids.
That sounds very original WarioWare with the pulling things out of noses and stuff, but yeah, I didn't know that's real. That's creepy.
It seems like it was made on a budget quickly, basically.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Yeah, as I said, I'll report back on both Dreams and Nintendo Labo VR when I've had a bit more time and played with it a bit more, but yeah. I'm definitely more keen to play more time on Dreams than I am on the Labo VR at the moment, but hey.
Well, I'm sick of your VR talking about, Tim, so I'm going to talk about my game.
Who?
I mean, oh, sorry, Clint Eastwood.
Yes, whatever his name is. Great.
The podcaster with no name. That's why I'm going to talk about my game, Ghost Giant, I've been playing this week.
Oh, I've bought this. I haven't played it yet.
Ooh, tell me more.
So, Ghost Giant is a game for the PlayStation VR.
Wow.
Hang on a second. Have you bought a PSVR, Coleman?
Coleman bought a PSVR.
Yes!
Jesus Christ.
Well, they did that State of Play, and there were so many tantalising-looking VR games. And I got the new model as well, and it's really cool, and I like it. Anyway, I'm not going to go too much into the PSVR, because we've spoken about the PSVR to death, mostly through Tim. But anyway... This is a PlayStation VR game. It's by Zoink Games. They're the guys who made Fee, which I've spoken about on the show before, Flipping Death, Zombie Viking, Stick It to the Man. And this is a game that requires the PlayStation Move controller. So if you don't have one of those and you don't have a PSVR, this is really isn't a game for you. You may have noticed this game. I think they announced it at an E3 previously, last year, and they did it in the build-up video compilation package thing. So Ghost Giant, it kind of what it says on the tin, you play a giant ghost and you're in this kind of diorama style world and you have to help a little boy called Luis.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much the game. It's kind of, it's touted as a puzzle game, but the puzzles in itself in the game, they aren't more than a kind of head scratch for a minute and you go, oh, do this. The way the game is presented, though, is the reason to pick this up. It is a beautiful kind of papercraft tearaway style, and everything's done in this 360 diorama where you're meant to either stand in one place and use your buttons to turn or sit in one place and use your buttons to turn. But the game is so beautiful that you can't help but lean in, look at things, pick things up, you know, try reach around corners and stuff, because everything in this game is absolutely gorgeous. Whole point of the game, you're this ghost giant, this little boy called Luis. He starts the game off by crying. His tears kind of manifest you, the giant ghost thing, ghost giant, and he is the only one that can see you. No one else in the world can. And you're then helping him through his day. He works on a farm, so you're picking up weeds and you're sowing seeds and just generally helping around. And it's this, you know, very cute little quaint game that doesn't last too long and you can sit and play it in like a few hours. Where this game is, I think all games kind of do this when they're indie games with this kind of quaint style on some level, but where you don't expect it to get you is this very cute little game of nice cute little animals, and gonna say cute a million hundred times in this game game review, but where this one kicks you is a lot about depression and loss emotions and stuff in this game. Yeah, so you don't see it come. Well, I think, to be honest, any kind of reviewer could see the twists in this game coming from the first 5 minutes. But if you don't see it coming, it really bloody gets you. And if you can identify with anything in the game as well, it really gets you. I won't go more than that, but...
I've heard similar from other sources, though, that it is a real sort of tearjerker, and I've heard of people taking off their helmets to actually, you know, wipe tears away to carry on.
The first review I heard of this
game
was...
There is a euphemism totally somewhere near in the vicinity of that, yeah. I'm just saying.
The first review I heard of this was I had to take my headset off because I was crying into the lenses and didn't want to damage my headset.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm too manly for that kind of response, to be honest.
It was just getting very dusty in your headset. Yeah, very dusty talking. All of a sudden.
But it is a game worth picking up. If you have the PSVR and you have the PS Move, it is worth picking up just specifically to just look at the game and just be in awe of the way everything surrounds you and the way you kind of get taken in. And even like all these little characters you meet, the way they talk, with the exception of one character that really annoys me, who says something along the lines of, I used to be a sea captain until I took an arrow to the knee. All the other characters are really
good. Don't get it.
Yeah, well, that's because it's not 10 years ago or whenever it was that that game came out and that meme came out. But yeah, all the characters are really interesting and nice looking, and there seems to be a kind of French rap to all the characters as well. That's why the main character's called Louise.
Okay.
And yeah, it is just a beautiful, stunning game, and it is one that I was quite happy to... it's one of those games, and I haven't done this on a VR headset before, I took the headset off and... my eyes hurt and I had marks on my face because I've been playing it too long.
Nice. It's a good sign. I'm definitely looking forward to it. It looks like one that kind of learnt some lessons from Moss, but it's also, if I remember correctly, it's the same developers that did Dino Frontier, which I think I spoke about earlier on the show. And that was a really good, like, sort of sim management game, but they seem to have taken some lessons they've learnt from developing that and seeing what Moss did and a few other things and, you know, obviously done their own thing, but it looks really interesting and I can't wait to play it. So, yeah.
Dino Frontier was Uber Entertainment. This is Zoink Games.
Okay, maybe it's incorrect.
Anyway, yeah, Ghost Giant, again, cannot stress this enough. Not only just PlayStation VR, you have to have a pair of PS Move controllers. If you don't have those, then this game is not for you.
Oh dear, because it literally can't be played without
those
things.
It can't be played without those things.
Not as in it won't, those are defining characteristics of your psyche that mean you will enjoy or not this game. It's just you need them.
Yeah, but this is inspiring me to dust off the old video equipment and keyboard and get writing an actual review for this game. I like it that much.
Oh, so, wow.
Yes.
That's good.
Right. Well, I've allowed you this VR indulgence once. You can off to VRB if you want to talk about VR
anymore.
Let's
talk about Beat Saber next week because I picked it up today.
Ooh. Just very quickly, Carmen, I have a question. What other games have you got so far? Is that it?
Games I have because I played them around yours. I've got the, the Until Dawn roller coaster game.
Yeah, Russian Blood.
Yeah, Selena really likes that one. I've got Doom VR, which seems better now. It's been patched a lot.
Okay. I didn't like the click turning in that, but anyway.
Okay, I've
that's
got
been patched out.
Astro Boy, which I haven't got around. Astrobot, sorry, yeah, which I haven't got
really
around
cool.
to playing yet. PSVR Worlds. And then I've got a bunch of stuff that has the VR built in. So like that Call of Duty demo and the Battlefront.
Oh yeah,
game.
Make sure to play the Battlefront one if you haven't played
I've that already.
I've already
played it, Tim. I don't need to play it several times.
Okay.
Well, fun though this is, chat. Fun though
grab
this
Star
is.
Star Trek at some point. Anyway.
Fun though this is, I've got a Thursday night to do.
Okay.
So,
we got a
Tim,
good Friday to get good.
Exactly. Yeah. Zombie Jesus. I need to commune with the Zombie Jesus is what I need to do. So, Tim...
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Tuesdays.
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday, as it is every Tuesday. And each and every Tuesday,
I need to rewind. Podcaster with no name, tell us about Tuesday.
Okay. For anyone that doesn't know, each and every Tuesday, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday in the Loading Bar in Dalston. We have had a big potato takeover for the whole of April so far. And this week they're going on out on a bit of a bang. We're doing a few special things. They're doing some streaming stuff from the venue, and we've got some goodie bags to give away, some big potato
Whoa.
Goodie bags. So this should be a definite one to come along for. And what's yes?
Do any of these bags contain crisps?
No.
Potatoes.
Potatoes.
Yes.
They do contain potatoes.
Yes.
But we'll be celebrating a kind of a collection of Oink games. I don't even seen any of the Oink game stuff before, but it's they're all in really small boxes, but they pack a lot into the boxes kind of thing. They're really good games, like Deep Sea Adventures, one of them. Fake Artist in New York is another one. And we'll have Insider and Startups as well, basically. But really good games to come along. Anyone that doesn't know, the Big Potato stuff that we've been doing all month has alongside the games that are featured that evening, there's also been a discount available on the vending machine that's there as well, because the Big Potato guys have got a vending machine with all their games in it. So the game of the featured that evening are also available discounted throughout the evening as well from the vending machine. So yeah, we've been kind of pushing that all this month, and this will be the final week, even though there is another week in the month. We only planned for 4 weeks, so yeah. So it'll be a different game next week, but this will be the last week that Big Potato are taking over, and it's been a pleasure to have them. It's been really some really good fun weeks, and this should be a good week not to miss. So come along on Tuesday. More details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, or you can search for Tabletop Tuesday and meet up and join the over 1,700 members we have there.
Lovely.
Splendid.
Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston, London. Come there for a bunch of stuff from Oink Games.
Indeed. Thank some people or a contest. Don't know.
Let's do that. This was for a load of the stuff from The Behemoth for Castle Crashers Remastered and Pit People. We've got a couple of Xbox codes and a couple of Steam codes, and we've also got a physical bag of stuff. So, let's decide which one we liked the best from these responses. So, Richard Kirk said, worms replaced with cupcakes.
I have a question about that one.
Yep.
Does he mean an intestinal parasitic infection? If so, that's amazing.
I'm pretty sure he means the game Worms.
Possibly Worms. And Jack Century Champion said, a remaster of 13. Loved the stealth when picking up an RPG, cupcakes, clash and armor, then taking out guards.
I like that one because it's a reference to 13 and no one references 13 these days.
I literally mentioned that game less than a week ago to someone. Anyway, but yeah.
And Adam West
in fact,
was in
it might
game.
Have been a rezzed, but anyway. But yeah, I do like that answer. That's a game I would also like to see remastered as well, so that's good in that case. Matt said, Cupcake Time Remastered.
Is that a Toast Time reference?
I guess that's a Toast Time reference, hopefully.
Okay.
Yeah.
Plain to me, maybe that one. Anyway, Portal, because cupcakes are a lie. Now,
true.
But see, that's good. That got the cupcakes in there. I know it's a possibly overdone meme, but squeeze the cupcakes in.
I used to be a competition entry like you until I took a cupcake to the knee.
Coleman wins. You win, Coleman.
Coleman wins all the codes and swag.
And
good night.
Kadraman01 said, cupcakes of the old republic. Now, that is not only... Like, he put cupcakes with a K, which I kind of like.
I like that.
Mortal cupcake.
Mortal cupcake sort of thing.
Why didn't anyone do that?
Why did no one do mortal cupcakes? But yeah, I have to say, also for the fact that I would like a remaster of that game, and it's one of my favourite games of all time, and he got it in there without sort of crowbarring it in, I think that's a winner for me, no? I think he gets the overall
prize.
How
many codes have we got to give out?
We've got... A code for each game, and then the bag of physical stuff. So what
so does
I will say
he win
is,
a code for both games and well, the stuff?
Well, no. Kadraman01
yeah.
gets the physical stuff and first okay. pick of the codes.
Oh, okay.
Ooh,
in that
fight?
Case, can I recommend 13 just because it was not just a reference to 13, which is a game that has Adam West in it, but also had a description of the game as well rather than just a title?
Yes.
And I'd like to nominate Richard Cupcake Kirkabon, but just because I'd like to think he's now got guts infested with cupcakes.
And then, yeah, we've got one more code, but obviously the choice of code will go down that list in order of preference, and so may not be something that you can take advantage of. But if we can, should we go Nelly for the next one? I like the portal reference.
Then. Yeah, go on then. Stick the portal reference in there.
Yeah. And sorry, Matt, you kind of missed out there, but yeah, just
you got disqualified for trying to tug at Tim's heartstrings.
And do I win anything for Mortal Cupcake?
Yes, you win a cookie.
Fast
with a K, spelt with a
Fantastic.
K.
Fantastic
cookie with a K.
You win a
brilliant.
Hug.
Thanks, Coleman.
With a K,
a cug. Whatever one of those is.
That's what I call a fart in a jar.
Anyway, we're going to say thank you to a couple of people, then we're going to disappear and let you get about your business. From the Facebooks, I would like to say thank you to Freya Goddard.
And from Twitter, I'd like to thank DOD Back 3000. And...
Oh, sorry. And Gabriel. God damn it, Tim. You've done it to me now.
fell for my cunning trap.
No, wait. Did I say Gabriel or Gabrielle?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure
you
said
confused you, said you the, enough that it doesn't matter anymore.
You said and the Gabriel, podcaster with no name.
God darn it. Thank you to Gabriel, and thank you to all the people that entered the contest, which they did so via Twitter.
Indeed.
Yes.
So that's your lot. That's the show. We're done. We're out of here nearly, but not quite, because we've yet to finish the show, which we are going to do momentarily. So thank you very much for downloading us, because we really appreciate it.
And, streaming.
Make sure you go to www.bigredbarrel.com or internet.com/thing/bigredbarrel. There's all kinds of social media services out there. We've got /bigredbarrel on many of them, so you should go there. So yeah, but no, really do appreciate you popping on by and shoving us in your ear holes. We do quite like that. So,
ow.
Yes.
It's dark in here.
Ah. That's the girth. Your problem there is the girth, Coleman.
They need to do with some, you know, that what was it, the injection, the to get rid of the wax.
What?
One of the,
but
syringing?
Who? Syringing, that's the word.
Right.
Okay. Do a syringing in here. Good.
That still sounds
fun
dodgy.
Fun fact, cats love earwax. I'll leave you with that.
Ah, lovely.
They do. Seriously, if you want to make friends with a cat, twiddle your finger in your ear, then stick that finger near a cat. They'll go absolutely crazy for it.
If you want to make friends with a cat, go to France. There's loads of them that really want attention, just living on the streets. It's quite scary.
Yeah, there we go. So anyway, we're going to have to go now because I need to go. And if I need to go, then, well, these two need to go as well. So I have been Dan.
I might have been the podcaster with no name.
I might have been Tim.
Hey! So remember, at Big Red Barrel, your suggestions for the name you should give the podcaster with no name.
Yes, please.
And,
we'll
continue calling him that for the rest of his life.
Might find another prize for the best one.
Yeah.
Yes. We have more prizes available. Let's go with that.
Yeah, all right.
We just do a rubbish competition every week.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yes. Except for It's Amazing.
Yes, of course.
I have one of the final Big Red Barrel t-shirts that we'll give away from the final ones left of the Faster Than Life t-shirts.
That That's what the word final means, you twat.
Well, yeah. I have a few of them, but I only have like one of each size left, so I don't want to do too many competitions.
Anyway.
There aren't that many prizes left.
All right, we're going to go now because I should have gone 11 minutes ago. So
I got half a pack of gum.
Wow, you're the best. Right. You can have my final Rolo. It's the last one.
Whoa!
What?
Do you love anyone enough to give me your last Rolo? Listeners,
no.
Of course.
Yes, that.
So, Barrel UK, tell your friends.
We're here all week. Tip your waiters. All right, we're going to go. So thank you once again for listening. And we shall probably catch you next week. Have a very merry non-denominational holiday, or just a weekend, if that's how you roll. And we'll see you next time. So until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
You and your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.